saw a man with no one to talk to. I saw my grandmother with no one to walk with. I saw my brother walking away. I saw my sister ask him to stay. Yeah. I heard a man on the radio dying of being a puppet in a masquerade, trying hard to remember what music means. Have I let fear corrupt my dreams? Hey, yeah, bring your own God, let's have a party. Bring your own God, do it in a garden, let's have a God. Likes to party, let's have a God who grows in the garden. I heard dirt flying on the arms of a stampede of a big family trying to leave a country after the run. The violence was done. Our children were left to die in the sun. And I saw you laugh. My skin was burning. I heard you cry when Jackie O died. You are my hero, 'cause you water the flowers. My perfect day celebrates your power. Yeah, yeah. Oh. Have a party, bring your own God, do it in the garden, let's have a God who likes to party, let's have a God who grows in the garden. Now. Is there anybody here who'd like to change his clothes into a uniform? Is there anybody here who thinks they're only serving on a raging storm? Is there anybody here with glory in his eye, loyal to the end? I wanna see him, I wanna wish him luck, I wanna shake his hand, I wanna call his name, put a medal on a man. Is there anybody here who'd like to wrap a flag around an early grave? Is there anybody here thinks they're standing taller on a battle wave? Is there anybody here who'd like to do his part? Soldier to the world and a bullet to his heart. I wanna see him, I wanna wish him luck, I wanna shake his hand, I wanna call his name, put a medal on a man. Is there anybody here so proud of the parade? Like to give a cheer, sure they're not afraid. I'd like to ask him what he's trying to defend. I'd like to ask him what he thinks he's gonna win. Is there anybody here who thinks that following the orders takes away the blame? Is there anybody here who wouldn't mind a murder by another name? Is there anybody here whose pride is on the line with the honor of the brave and the courage of the blind? I wanna see him. I wanna wish him luck. I wanna shake his hand. Wanna call his name. Put a medal on the man. Put a medal on the man. Thank you very much. Thank you for this incredible weekend. It was incredibly inspiring, and yet it just shows that there's so much to do. But it's really good that we can come together and empower each other. And thank you very, very much.
Sonia from Disappear Fear, thanks a lot for coming. We already have about 10 items on the agenda. And Christine pushed lunch back to 12:30. So, you know, the schedule's off by a half hour already. So, but I want to, should we read some of the agenda items we have so we don't repeat? Okay. We want to do a resolution for DMCA. That Elizabeth has put together. We need to talk about next year's conference, which is tentatively, not set in concrete, but tentatively set for June in Moab, Utah. And so we want to talk about the issues that surround that. We want to talk briefly, very briefly, probably just to set up a listserv or a meeting or something on creating a program out of GRC called Freedom 101 or something like that could be distributed on the KU and via the internet to just talk about the erosion of our civil liberties. Don Foster has a presentation on some of the diversity issues that have been talked about. Leslie Kagan wants to let us know about Pacifica's plans for 911. Carol wants to talk about NFCB. What else?
We want to have an open mic time for...
Well, yeah, we'd love to have everybody just talking, obviously. Okay, so other crucial issues. Obviously, time is going to be of the essence.
Is Chris Maxwell here? I know that Chris Maxwell, another gentleman, wanted to have a kind of a... They wrote a proposal for a GRC stance on DAB. So just so that doesn't get forgotten, I'm going to go look for more people.
Okay. We got to play the news track.
And we want to play the five-minute news piece that our news track created. So we're going to do that first, right?
It's probably coming, but, you know, I want to just once again formally thank the crew of people who volunteered to put this whole conference together. Yeah. Greg Swartz and Kurt Knuth back there. Yay. Jason Dole, Laney here, Kevin Greff, Ann Larson and Malcolm Brown. Just amazing. So.
not to mention Christina Hearn. Yeah.
And also, just to thank the I don't think Ella or Chima are down here, but the Hills have been gone over and beyond and above. And I have a little paper bag I'm going to pass around. You know, usually when you go to hotels, people do tip. And thanks to Rosalie for bringing that up, that we've not really paid attention to them. And this is for... who've been staying here. But let's, you know, but a lot of people who have not been staying here and are coming in for the day. So let's pass around this bag. And if any, whatever you can do to give to the staff here at the Hills who have just really gone out of their way to make this a great site for us. And we'll do it at lunch, too. But pass around now. We'll pass it around again at lunch. And we'll wait for the news piece. If the news piece is not here, it is great. So this is the news track. This is a real experiment for us. So, we're thrilled that people were into it. And any feedback people want to give now on just on that news track? There's a mic over there. Come up here. If you participated in it, how it went, what you thought? No?
Christine, can I just add something to the agenda? Yeah. We'd also like to add another item to the agenda, and that is a brief discussion of GRC itself. I don't think many people understand how we come to the agenda that's on the conference, but it's pretty grassroots, and so we'll take a few minutes to let you know about that so you all can help build the conference for next year. Dead air. So we have a microphone, so I'll say something. I want to say that I think one of the greatest gifts of this conference was what Errol Maitland did yesterday. You know, sometimes we need our eyes opened for us. So I just want to just put out some gratitude for that. And following that, I want to be defensive about it. No, I want to say that, you know, GRC really, truly is grassroots, and it's what we all bring to it. And there's a refreshing feeling at this conference that we are not totally consumed with the Pacifica crisis. Because since GRC won, as Elizabeth so eloquently put it one year, it was something about a turd in a punch bowl. So, you know, it's not in there anymore. We're not in anguish over Pacifica, but a very large part of GRC has been organizing actions and, you know, dealing with that struggle and crisis. So, as I mentioned, it's a kind of a defensive comment. It feels really good that we've taken back Pacifica, and now we can look ahead. But still, you know, you have a garden, there's always weeds in it. And you have to pull them out before you can plant flowers. Yeah. And you have to put compost back in. Yeah. And, you know, all those basic principles. But I feel excited about some of the conversations we've had. And, you know, having all that great panel yesterday, I think it means we can build something really better. So thanks.
This is Hi. I just wanted to say I have been in mics all over the country, but never has there been a wonderful sound like they have here. And I want to congratulate the two men that are in back of those machines. They're wonderful.
Representatives of North American community radio stations gathered this summer in rural New York for their annual grassroots radio conference.
I'm in radio because I want to change society.
I believe most of our mission statements allow for activism to happen on the airwaves, and that's what is really key in grassroots radio.
I think it's the alternative media's role to ask those questions that the mainstream media isn't necessarily asking.
asking difficult questions of both the mainstream media and themselves could be considered one of the major themes of the 7th Annual Grassroots Radio Conference held in the Catskill Mountain of New York. The stations represented at the conference are non-commercial and locally controlled volunteer-operated media outlets distinct from the increasingly corporate-owned and profit-driven mainstream media. The imminent media barrage being prepared for the September 11th anniversary of the attacks on the Pentagon and World Trade Center was on the minds of conference attendees. Many felt that their work was more important than ever this past year. Because of these special media outlets and their strong ties to the communities they serve, many of the producers and networks plan special programming that is not likely to be heard on mainstream media outlets come the one-year anniversary.
This was, September 11 was a wake-up call for the Arab and Muslim community. I realized at once the importance of community radio.
We will be bombarded here, but so will people in Iraq continue to be bombarded by real U.S. bombs. And I think on this anniversary of the terror attacks of September 11th, we have to make sure that the voices of dissent are heard.
I would think we would maybe want to contextualize this event in a broader historical context, in a more global context.
I think that we will want to raise awareness about how many civilian casualties there have been in Afghanistan as a result of the bombing campaign there. I think we could engage in special programming and making sure that we're interviewing critical voices and getting the analysis and perspectives out there that's going to be sorely needed at that time.
There needs to be messages to like educate people about the fact that these planned events for the anniversary of 9/11 aren't really intended to commemorate or honor these people who died in this tragedy. They're just meant to use them as fodder for whipping up xenophobic hysteria and militarism and nationalism.
That's part of the propaganda, that's part of the game, that's part of the program. And this media, the U.S. media, I mean, it plays a very, very central role in it. Propagating the racism to create the mentality to hate the people of color, whoever they are, as long as we can preserve our way of life.
Could you imagine an audio fest on that day? No television, no radio, no newspapers. All that you might have across this country and around the world is people talking person to person. Not how to prevent it in the future, but how to change the world for the future.
In addition to identifying their differences with the mainstream media, conference members also put themselves under the magnifying glass. During one well-attended workshop, the question of diversity was raised.
Sorry to interrupt you, Amy Goodman. I think that something was overlooked by our esteemed colleagues and organizers of this conference.
The only one who can tell your story and the stories of your community are the people who live them. And the power that we bring is the ability to share those stories in a wider venue. When I tell your story, I not only diminish your power, I diminish my own.
Can we differ? Can we have arguments and not hate each other? Can we stay in the radio room with people we disagree with? Can we try to grapple with views of people that we can't understand? I'm interested in all of that, and never more interested since 9/11.
If there was any consensus that emerged from the Grassroots Radio Conference, it was this: that now more than ever, it is the task of journalists to avoid complacency at all costs. Rather, to be inclusive and aggressive in the pursuit of truth, giving the mic over to as many voices as necessary to reveal the best available version of the truth.
This report has been a collective effort by participants in a workshop at this year's annual Grassroots Radio Coalition conference hosted by WJFF Radio Catskills. For more information on this conference, visit www.wjffradio.org.
I want to say a quick thanks to all the people who just put that together, especially, and also to Greg and Kurt and Jason, who really did a lot of work in the getting the news track together, and then the people who led it, Philip Babich and Jeremy Scahill and Gretchen King, and I don't know who all ended up in that news track. Do you know, Kurt? Keith Rosendale, of course. And Scott Harris. Jill? Thank you. Anyway, to all of you, because you're not going to get recorded unless you get up to that mic. But, Johnny, Sean Ewald, yes, and Reem, who I was in and out of that room all the time, helping out with everything. And just a general thanks to Reem, anyway, because she was everywhere in BIX, especially for recording and streaming this whole conference. Thanks.
So let's try to dispatch the resolution business first. Elizabeth, do you want to present yours and the DAB one? And there's one other one, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's not mine. It's a group effort. But since I typed it, I get to do it here. Carol Pearson, Norm Stockwell, Ken Friedman, the folks from Tucson whose names I haven't got down yet, Roger? And Christy, and there were other people at the table, and I'm forgetting you, but this is what we've come up with. Does everybody know what the DMCA is, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act? If you don't, it gives you an idea of how much educating we have to do, but it really would control streaming and probably make a lot of web streamers, certainly web radio people who are only web radio, go under. So this is what we're proposing. First, the Grassroots Radio Coalition is committed to artists in our society receiving just compensation for their work. Second, and I don't have the exact language of this, I'm sorry, the right to communicate is recognized as a fundamental human right which underpins all other human rights, and it should not be contravened by borders or forms of communication. Third, that the Grassroots Radio Conference believes that the DMCA inhibits the distribution and diversification of cultural material in our communities. Fourth, that the GRC welcomes the opening of digital spectrum for broader access for all cultural expression. And this is a nod to the web radio people, among others. Five, the GRC is committed to creative ways to educate and activate our communities to respond to inadequate and restrictive legislation, including working with artists and independent labels. And six, therefore, we will undertake a campaign to educate our listeners about internet copyright issues, the DMCA, and the CARP before their next round of meetings this fall. And we will mobilize our listeners to bring their concerns to and urge action by their appropriate elected representatives. And what we would like to do is to get all the stations here who can to sign on to this. We didn't specify campaigns so that you could do that as your own community would want to do it, but there have been talk about writing to independents and asking them to not require compliance and a number of other things. But we want to do a series of public service announcements or distribute them, because there are some that are already done, so that we can begin a listener education thing on this. And we would like GRC to support it. And Norm, come to the mic. Come to the mic.
Probably a lot of us can't make decisions on behalf of our stations, but if we could put this on the GRC email list and maybe set a target date for when we'd like people to sign on to it.
Okay, and there is a GRC listserv, you know, run by the anarchist list cop at KBOO. And we want to... And NFCB would, anyway, so we're going to pass around a list. And please, if you have an email address, put it down on the piece of paper. If you want to be included in the listserv, indicate by checking the column that Kathy's put there. And if you're, but just even if you think you're on it and you think we have your email, please put it on there, because it'll become part of the database for next year. So do you want to go ahead, Frida?
Sorry, about the procedure on this, were you saying that it shouldn't be approved here at the conference, but should be approved through the listserv?
I was saying most of us probably can't approve it here on our own.
Can't, because you have to go back to your state.
Could we recommend it by acclamation?
Yeah, let's do something like that, because
right.
Not everybody here is on the listserv. Yeah.
Right. So can I have let's recommend it by acclamation. There's no dissent, is there? Nah. Okay. Was that leading? I don't know. Okay. Is Chris Maxwell here and his DAB thing? Chris, can you be quick?
Okay, great. Just as brief as you can.
Oh, yes. Okay. This was actually John Riley's idea, but I'm going to read the introduction. Broadcast radio and TV.
Just 1 second. Okay. This is a sign-on letter or a resolution. If we could get it as a resolution, we'd like it. And it's all about this new digital IBOC standard that they want to impose upon the FM band.
Broadcast radio and television are increasingly dominated by enormous monopolies, creating a homogenized product. Community and public broadcasting are under attack by greedy and increasingly consolidated corporations seeking to eliminate all competition. The next assault on the public's right to access a free press on the airwaves is a new digital radio system proposed by large commercial broadcasters and equipment manufacturers. This new system is called IBOC DAB, an acronym for In-Band On-Channel Digital Audio Broadcasting, and is proposed by corporations such as Clear Channel, Kenwood, Harris Transmitters, Sony Incorporated, etc. They plan to cram the new digital signals on to the existing AM and FM analog broadcast spectrum. These new signals will double the width of each station's use of the bandwidth on the dial, thus jamming the signal of neighboring weaker or more distant independent stations, thus reducing their broadcast range by over half in one documented case. This will be particularly bad in the non-commercial reserve spectrum at the bottom of the FM band. Already, the public has only one quarter of the FM spectrum reserved for public use and none on the AM band.
I attended the meeting in which this was discussed. I'm otherwise not expertly qualified. For these reasons, we demand of the FCC and Congress the following. One, I have two reasons that I'll be reading. One, no cramming private subscription-based transmissions on the existing analog AM and FM bands. Two, digital radio, also known as IBOC-DAB, must have its own band. We've underscored own and band. Most of the world has already approved, in the early 1990s, separate spectrum for the new digitized radio service, known as digital audio broadcasting. We can avoid destroying listener access to many radio signals by adopting the accepted world standard, using spectrum being released by the U.S. military on the so-called L-band, just as Canada already has done.
Three, we're concerned that there's been inadequate testing of the new IBOC DAB standard. We urge the FCC to evaluate the European system, and we oppose the forced migration to digital, which would make all existing analog radios obsolete.
All right. And finally, number four, last one, we demand all the space vacated by analog channel 6 as they move to the new digital television channels to be reserved for public affairs and FM and arts FM analog broadcasts. This follows the precedent already set by the creation of the AM extended band for the same reasons, to relieve congestion for independent stations.
So how do you feel about this? Can we do the same thing? Endorse it by acclamation, put it serve, and individual stations can deal with it that way? Is that okay? Okay, by acclamation, yes.
Thank you, guys. Can you
GRC. Okay. Now, Rupert, where's... There he is. Rupert!
Blouse on skirt.
Okay, one more resolution type thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay, here we go. Hi. I've never done this before, and I just figured out what this is really all about. So, basically, at one of the talks, we were talking about the, let's see, holding up Clear Channel and spanking them, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Thanks to Prometheus. So, I kind of reacted to that like, yeah, this is an emergency. So I proposed that we all contribute to an emergency broadcast about this issue, because it's our issue. And so then it was, the ball was thrown back in my court. Well, okay, make a program and put it up there, and it'll be shown. And I thought maybe we can make it really much bigger of a thing, and create a whole bunch of PSAs, which I can work on doing and work on distributing them collectively. And
one thing about that?
Yeah. There's got to be more coordination.
The Prometheus Radio Project already has made a few PSAs, so in addition to that, we're going to make them. We handed out a couple CDs, but this week we're going to make them all available on our website. So if you're interested in them, just go to prometheusradio.org and download them. But play them if you're going to download them. Just use them if you like them.
So, yeah. So I guess, any kind of collective resolution would be that we set a date or we set some kind of common goal for a broadcast that we all use, or a show. And up the ante a bit, but I don't know how everyone would say, okay, yeah, we'll do it, or how you divide the labor on it, or I don't know, a statement of commitment toward, an emergency broadcast about the issue. But, okay. What do you think? I mean, does that make any sense to everybody? I'm talking about alarmist kind of broadcast that we all unified by sharing, putting out there.
Well, let's have a commitment to consider it by acclamation, and let's put it on the listserv and talk about it. Huh? Yeah. All right.
Tell everybody to get on that listserv.
Yes, we're passing around the thing for the listserv. So please indicate if you want to be on it, and also, even if you don't, give us your email if you've got one so that we can reach you.
Can we do another resolution? Is there still
time? Yes, one more.
Okay.
Brief.
Okay.
Brief.
This is the proposed resolution.
Lower the mic a little bit.
Lower the mic? Okay.
That's all right. She doesn't do radio, so.
I don't do mic technique. Especially in public. Okay. Closer? Thank you. Thank you all very much. I want to sound as good as Granny D. By acclamation at our 7th annual conference, the Grassroots Radio Conference urges that the framework of the World Summits of on the Information Society be based not only on the Millennium Declaration, but also on the Beijing Declaration and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Yes. Yeah.
Woo!
Okay.
If we can get...
Yay! So that's by acclamation, right? Yeah. Good. You know, save so much time just acclaiming everything.
Would you stop the bombing of Iraq?
Yeah, it's just, yeah! Okay, I want to get to the issue of Moab and a steering committee that we'd like to set up on the diversity issues, and then let Don talk, and then we'll move on to the rest of the stuff. So the proposal from the Moab people, who unfortunately had to leave, is that we do GRC8 in Moab, Utah, which is a small town in it's just a spectacular setting. The logistics of getting there would be very similar to this for many of us, because you would have to fly into either Grand Junction or Salt Lake City, depending on the service, if you're flying, and then drive about 2 hours to Moab through, gorgeous country. There are sort of two proposals on the table for the venue for this. One is basically a free space that might make the registration absolutely zero for this conference. And it's a nice space. It's in Moab, and everything's within walking distance. And then we'd be staying at motels and, you know, going to lunch downtown, which is, you know, like Main Street, little town America. Then the other proposal is that there's a, you know, an enclave, something like this, away from town, about 20 miles from town, where we'd all be staying together. And it's on the Colorado River, which is the big thing there, rafting, bicycling, and, you know, hiking in the Arches area. Those are the big things. And so there, we're going to consider that. We'll discuss it on the GRC listserv. And, of course, one of the issues, you know, transportation is certainly one of the issues. It's great that this worked out so well. And I just personally love being away from the cities and away from those hotels and their air conditioning. So, you know, I'm hoping that in the future we'll be the kind of venue that we do GRC in. Good. The other issue that's come up, besides the transportation, is the whole issue of diversity and how much diversity is there in white Mormon Utah. You know, issues around that. I believe that, you know, I'm for this proposal, but I want to throw it open to all of you. I think that we can, first of all, there are a lot of Native American tribes in that part of the country, and we, as we did at GRC3, we may be able to, and as NFCB did this year, we may be able to do somewhat of a Native American summit, which would attract a lot of people, and hopefully we can get the kind of money that we got when we did GRC3 to bring people in, to give them scholarship money for travel and stuff. The other thing that I'd like to do is, and I've spoken to some of the people who are on the panel yesterday, is to create a steering committee that would be in touch via internet to talk about how to do outreach. The main issues around diversity really are outreach. Does anyone know we're having our conference? And some financial support, right? As you can tell, we've kept the registration as minimal as possible, and but you can't, you know, there's these travel and other issues that can't really, you know, sort of bottom line financial issues. So that's it. So I'd welcome a little talk on this, and then we'll have Don address some of the diversity issues. So let's take maybe 10 minutes. Please keep your comments brief. Thanks.
Well, here goes. I'm white, and I'm also Mormon, active, and I know the Mormon community, and I feel pretty strongly that if we communicate to the Mormon community, they'll have open arms about every topic that we're talking about here. So I'd be happy to give suggestions of networking with them, and you'll all know how to get a hold of me. Okay. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for the Mormon community and for us. So that's why I want to say that.
How do I get a hold of you?
Roger@kxci.org.
You know, I've always felt about these grassroots, and Moab is a lovely place, but it's rather isolated. And what I like about being here was that we're next to 9 million people, and, you know, we've seen faces here that we haven't seen before, but certainly we haven't seen enough faces. And personally, what I did to try to make it to help was I emailed like 50 radio stations, just cold emails, saying, hey, do you know about this radio conference? And I didn't track it, so I don't know if it worked at all. I don't think it did, because I wanted to, you know, I emailed Vermont and Connecticut and Virginia, all down this eastern seaboard here. So Moab is an incredibly gorgeous, remarkable place, but I'm afraid that, you know, I want the urban areas to come, because that's where the radios in the middle America, you know, Iowa and all that, seem to be concentrated. So unless you can get a buttload of money, and I don't even know if you made it free all the way around, you know, would it make a difference for people for coming? That's the question. Well, if you think it will, then maybe it will. I mean, it's worth a try, because we could raise the money, you know, to bring people in. But I don't even know if that would work.
Build a Burning Man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Come and
comments quickly. Yeah, if you have a comment, please.
Can I just say, I mean, this is the cheapest conference I've ever seen in my life, the meal thing. I mean, I've been to feminist conferences that cost me six times as much. The other thing is the Southwest does fly into Salt Lake City, and they will sponsor your events, which means a discounted rate. So. Wow.
I wonder if we could do what the Indigenous Environmental Network is doing. When it comes into an area, it presents within their own panels issues that are of local interest, like maybe the Goshute issue of the nuclear repository on Goshute land. And we could explore the issues that are germane to that area and tell people that here are radio producers coming in who would help get the word out. So we don't necessarily only attract people who are already in radio, but those who need to be heard.
Amen, sister!
We put the word out on the GRC listserv, on the NFCB listserv. One thing I'd like to see, Carol, is the NFCB listserv open up more to volunteers, because it's mostly paid staff, and that's one way to reach them, but also to put it out more on the IMCs. And maybe that could help bring in more people next year.
I know that there are people of color in all of your stations. I think that what is needed is for you to solicit within your stations and bring your people with you.
My people.
And if you don't have any, you have 300 and some days to get some.
I think if you're looking to mobilize the most people, it has to be an urban setting, and you can do a one-year urban, one-year rural, and alternate like that. And if you want to be more aggressive about the media and really get a lot of people, like thousands, not hundreds, but thousands, I think it has to be an urban setting.
Yeah, the reason we were going to move it into June, because Moab in the heart of the summer is not really that pleasant. It's like 100 degrees, and it's, you know, like a rocky basin where you sort of cook like a cookie or something. January. Well, you know, June is pleasant weather and would allow for some outdoor activities. So, you know, do we have some... let's just get a sense of the body here. Who absolutely is against being in Utah? Okay. Well, that's definitely minority. Who's absolutely for it? Okay, most people don't seem to care. All right.
On the basis of the economics of it, except for the host station, it's going to cost all of us to go somewhere. And there are some lower cost, some higher cost airfares. But if you know where you're going to be, you can certainly shop that. And maybe through Southwest or another airline, we can get some economies of scale. The other questions of diversity are not really location questions as much as economic questions and our own wherewithal to bring people in. That's not a location question. That's an us question.
I think a better question to ask is, are there any alternative proposals? Because, I mean, people may have issues with being in Moab, but if there's no other place to go, then, you know, I mean, so does anybody have an alternative proposal, an alternative location?
I think another issue, and I want to echo what Vicky said about the economics, the years in which Grassroots has been the most diverse is when we've had the most scholarship money available to help both with scholarships and also outreach. And the other thing, when we did the conference in Madison, we had a donor who very generously supported an organizing person to help us get the mailing list together and so on, because it was in various states, geographic states. and what and different database formats as well. What I think is really important is Moab folks have been very active in these grassroots conferences, but they are a small contingent, and I think it's a concern whether or not they have the resources to do the kind of organizing, outreach, soliciting of donations, and so on. And we as grassroots, since we're not an organization and have no office, would need to figure out a way, I think, to support that in order to make it possible.
Yeah, and they realize that, and what they'd really like to do is the logistics around the whole thing, to provide the place and the transportation and the you know, the physical stuff. They have asked for help on putting the schedule together, and I've already said that I will do some work on getting some money, which I think is, you know, possible. Thinking about it now, getting focused, etc. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I just want to support the idea of not rushing into a decision and waiting to take some time to explore possibilities with some of the urban stations. A few of us have been talking about, and no one who's here has the power to commit their station, but the possibility that either KPFA in Berkeley or KPFK in Los Angeles might be in a position to do the work, perhaps in partnership with a second station. Like there's a predominantly African-American station in San Francisco that might... Again, this all has to be explored. Or there could be two different members of GRC that work on different aspects. There's some parts that you don't have to be physically there to help with some of the, like designing the program and the workshops. That doesn't have to be the host group. But I think what's important beyond all the points people have made, which are valid about the need for scholarship money in terms of bringing in people of color and poor people, but it's also about... that if it's in a major urban center, then there will be local people who won't have to spend any money except train subway fare or whatever to get to the conference, and that will very much enrich what type of presentations and panels can be there. And there's also, I think, a psychological factor for people of color. If they know it's in a major city with a large population of people of color, they might be more likely to come from another part of the country because they can – both they can figure out in general and also hopefully by looking at the program of the conference that there will be concern, there will be issues that they're concerned about on the agenda and like-minded people who won't leave them feeling isolated.
I'm slightly concerned. Yeah.
I know most people know each other at this point. Just introduce yourselves when you get up to
the record. Hi, I'm Jason. And I'm addicted to radio. It was a joke from last night.
Hi, Jason.
Hi. It's good. I don't know one way or another in my mind, and I don't know if I have enough experience with it. I'm slightly concerned, and has been brought up a couple times. Another just as strong an issue as any kind of race lines that divide people. There are economic lines. I mean, there's economic concerns for everybody, especially when you have small radio stations. In my mind, I seem to feel that it's more expensive to be in a city anytime you're in a city, just from my experience of going to New York City. But, you know, I don't know. And it is true, whoever is in that city, it would be a lot easier for them. And there's a lot more people in a city that can go to it than there is people around here that can go to this. So I understand both sides of that. The other thing I think is coming up a lot is, at least on my side, I could not imagine planning the workshops and things without being here. Of course, you couldn't do it without feedback from the larger community. But I can't things like the scholarship and things like this, the financial concerns, to answer these financial concerns, can't we set up like some kind of a communication, somewhat like the listserv, to organize a coalition of us to have people go out, find that money, not just at the one station that we're at, but us as a group externally, whoever's got the means to go about pooling this in. It just makes more sense. If everybody who has can contribute to this, to create a pool, and then we can distribute to the people that need it and make it a little bit more interesting. And everything is being said. It seems that like we need to have a lot of communication because there is no organization. There is no, you know, head because it's grassroots. We need to have a lot more communication in all of our off times, and I'd really like to see the GRC listserv be used for that a lot more communication in terms of the planning and things, because I felt personally in trying to plan this that there wasn't as much as there could have been.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason.
Hi, I'm Pete Tredish from Prometheus Radio Project. Hi. Last year at the last Grassroots Radio conference, we put forth a proposal of doing a strategic leveraged merger transfer of the next Grassroots Radio project being combined with one of our Low Power Radio barn raisings. And what at that point we hadn't done any barn raisings, and people weren't quite sure what that would entail and what that would mean. People were concerned about, well, don't you want a viable, already existing station to be the host? And well, what's changed in the past year is that we've done two, and there are two barn raisings that we did, one in Oroville, California, and one in Maryland, where we basically held a grassroots radio conference. They're about the same size. They're about 150 to 200 people. And they have, you know, people come from all around the region and around the country, and we have basically the same workshops as the Grassroots Radio Conference. It's skewed a little different towards starting a radio station, but also we talk a lot about managing. And so, you know, it made a lot of sense, at least to me, to and since we do about three or four of these per year, it seemed like a good pairing to do one together, and also just for the grassroots radio movement to come and, you know, visit one of these new stations. Now, okay, I've got all the upside. The downside is we have one scheduled, which is in Opelousas, Louisiana, which is November 15th to 17th, which is obviously like long before the next grassroots radio conference. And we don't have the next one scheduled, so we don't know where it's going to be. We think it'll either be in the Southwest, or in the Northwest, or maybe somewhere somewhere. We have stations. You ready? We have stations that want to do it in all these places, but we haven't picked. You know, and we haven't decided, you know, which one's going to fit, which one's on the right table, who's going to get their construction permit in time, all that sort of thing.
How far off are you from that? Do you roughly know?
I'd say it'll take us, I don't know, probably in the next 3 months. The other thing that we do before every barn raising is we jump in the car, and we drive around for about, 600, 800 mile radius of wherever it is. And we stop in every city that has people that are interested in radio to do the outreach for the conference, which we're about to do that for the South. And we're going to about 23 cities in 22 days in order to recruit for the Opelousas barn raising. And that's what we would do for the Grassroots Radio Conference. So, if we don't make a decision, I mean, Moab sounds kind of cool to me, but if we don't make a decision to go with Moab, Prometheus definitely has some options. We do have an occasionally paid staff at Prometheus to sort of handle some of the logistics and that sort of thing. So, that would be our offer again.
Thank you.
I'm Elizabeth Robinson from KCSB in Santa Barbara and also from AMARC, but I think their staff only occasionally eats, too. I think that's a really interesting way of paying people. These issues are kind of all mushed together, and so I'm going to have to try and address three or four of them at once. And I guess the first one I want to say is, you know, when we looked at diversity, or when we were challenged on diversity, yesterday? I have to say it was a crude instrument. I think it was an important one, and I think it's something that we have to grapple with. But, for example, I'm Arab American, but I have the privilege of not having an accent, and I have the privilege of being able to pass should I want to. So I didn't come up primarily for that reason. But I also have lived in this area, and I know that it is full of poor Eastern European immigrants who are not on our usual radar. And so we need to be cognizant of that. I also know that, you know, of the six people that came from my station, three of us are people of color. Only one was identifiably so to somebody that didn't know who we were. And that the other three are very important social activists who are working on living wage campaigns, who have worked to unionize, who are doing youth radio. And so we, you know, as important as the issues around race and racism are, and I don't diminish those, I've lived them all my life, not just in terms of my own, who I am, but in terms of my marriage, who I relate to, all of those things. I know that they slip under the radar if you're not directly impacted. But I think Kai hit it in terms of diversity. We have made a commitment last year to bring at least one other person from our stations, each of us, to address issues of diversity. So that's on us, and I think we need to do that. The other thing that I want to say, and I've gone too long, uncomfortable, is, you know, the urban-rural thing is an important one, but I have to say that in terms of activism in this country, and in terms of what we imagine race and class and racism to be about, I think the cities, particularly the coastal cities, which happen to be where the stations you're talking about may be hosting this, privilege themselves all too much and ignore all too much what's going on everywhere else. So that concerns me, and further, quite honestly, it concerns me because I don't think the Pacifica Network or its stations have their feet on the ground yet, and I don't know that they're ready to take on something like this, or in some of my experience, to take on a partnership with us rather than a an alpha relationship with us. And so for all those reasons, I want to say I think it'd be great to do it in a city sometime. But I'd also like to say maybe for the time being, the Moab proposal is really a good one. I could also say that we could do it in Santa Barbara, and I'm prepared to do that. But I think the Moab folks have been talking about it and wanting to do it, and I think maybe there might be something to do in combination or in partnership with Prometheus in that area, and or with a low-power station in the area. So that's what I would propose.
Okay, let's have two more comments, one from Dennis, one from Alicia, and then we will continue to discuss this on the listserv and make a decision maybe in 2 or 3 months. We'll try to do it in that kind of time frame. And we'll go to Don.
Okay,
Dennis. I'm Dennis Burke, and I'm one of the few people here from the Southwest, so I thought I would tell you a little bit about the Moab possibility. It puts you within about 100 miles of a couple of good stories, one of which is the Navajo Hopi situation on Black Mesa, essentially where Peabody Coal trumped up a land war, and Navajos are being relocated for the benefit of the coal company, and also destroying the water supply for the Hopis in the process. So it's a pretty good story, and it's within 100 miles, which is walking distance for Doris. That also leads me to another suggestion, and by the way, as an Arizonan, which is in that territory, I'm sure a lot of us would want to help you with whatever facilities are necessary. When speaking of coal, there's another opportunity that I think you should look at, which is a lot closer, which is West Virginia, and this little pond out here that some of you know. Oh boy. Is going to be undrinkable within 20 years because of the amount of mercury coming out of the air. And a lot of the mist or a lot of the haze you see between here and the next mountain is from the coal-fired plants all over Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio that drifts this way and causes about an extra 3,000 deaths a year. So it's an issue for all of the Northeast Coast particularly. And it comes out of West Virginia and what's going on now, which is this horrendous mountaintop removal mining. I'm sure those people, I don't know if there's any West Virginians here, but it would be a great place to meet. It's very close to Washington, D.C. It's very close to the East Coast generally, and there's some great resort facilities, particularly along New River and the Greenbrier. And I know people there who would help both in terms of logistics and financing to bring you there. And I think you should look at where you meet as a great spotlight to put on stories that otherwise are not getting decent coverage.
My name is Alicia Littletree. I'm from a rural station in Northern California, and I just wanted to ask how many people have ever been to Moab, Utah? And how many of the people who were absolutely opposed to Moab, Utah have ever been to Moab, Utah? Because I'm concerned about our perceptions about places. I remember when the DNC was in L.A., I was terrified to go to L.A. for all my preconceptions. I loved L.A. that week that we were there. I thought it was incredible. So I think it's an opportunity that a lot of people may not have to go to a place like Moab, be welcomed by a community who really wants us to be there, and I think we'll find that our preconceptions were not necessarily accurate. That's it. Thanks. This is just for the discussion.
Right. All right. I appreciate all your comments, and I think they're, you know, thoughtful people can disagree. But we do need to make some kind of decision fairly shortly. So we're going to move to Don and some of the diversity issues. And as usual, I urge you to be brief, Don. Thank you.
Well, I need to know about how brief. We negotiated like 10, 15, 20 minutes. Oh, 20 minutes?
Not 20.
20, 15. Okay. I don't want to talk to you. I want to engage you in a conversation with one another. That's basically what we're talking about here. What I want to do is to do an envisioning exercise with people. If people will give me, allow me to lead you in this. Basically, what I want to do is that I want you to just sit back and relax right now, you know, realizing that you left really busy lives to come here. And that while here, what you did was that you made more commitments, probably more commitments than you could possibly fulfill, okay? And when you get back to your busy lives, some things are going to be stripped away. Some of the commitments that you made are going to be stripped away. You're not going to be able to do it. I'd like you to try to prioritize just a little bit around this issue of diversity and the issue that we just talked about. Because for many of us, it's not a matter of exactly where the conference is. It's how important it is or how successful it is in reaching the desired results. Okay? So I'd like you to close your eyes for a moment. No harm will come to you. Relax. And envision what it would be like to, in fact, have a conference that is successful around this issue. We're going to take about 3 minutes to do this. We're envisioning this conference, a successful conference around diversity, not necessarily racial diversity, but inclusive. Minute remaining. Okay, time. Okay. The next stage is I'd like you to, in this awake state now, acknowledge the commitments that flow from your vision that you had. What can you do to, in fact, bring this vision into being? Okay? What can you do to, in fact, bring this vision into being? Okay? Out of the vision that you just had, what can you, what commitment can you make, realizing that you have a very busy life and you made more commitments here than you can possibly fulfill? Okay? I'd like you to speak with the person next to you about what you're going to do when you get home to make this a better conference next time. You have about 5 minutes to do that now. I don't know.